Hello, everyone. Welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. I am the show's main host and frontman, the Reverend Godfather. And even though I say it every single time, this is a special episode in a very special way. This is to be forward with each and every one of you. This is an unpaid promotional type of show, even though it's not. It's going to come off like that, but it isn't. The reason why I say that is because a little more than a week ago, promoter of the Four State Comic-Con, the reboot, Matt Burns himself, contacted me on Facebook asking if he could, in a way, come on the show, promote his September show, which is September 9th and 10th, and interview one of the guests that he is going to be having on the show. I said, hey, why not? And in a group Facebook chat between him, the guest, we decided to do the episode, and the guest said, hey, can I bring in somebody else who's kind of a friend? He works with me a lot. Can he come on the interview as well? And I said, you know what? Why not? So, on this episode, not only do we have Matt Burns speaking to us about his September show, we have Kent Wagner, who's going to be at the Four State Comic-Con, the reboot show, the September 9th and 10th at the Hagerstown Hall in Hagerstown, Maryland. But we also have Mike Mundy. And for those who don't really know, Kent Wagner appeared on The Walking Dead as a zombie in at least one or two seasons. Not to mention he's played a Ravager in the current Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And he played like a bit part, a little bit part in Spider-Man Homecoming. Not to mention Mike Mundy has played a bit part alongside Kent in Spider-Man Homecoming. Plus, he was also a Walking Dead walker in one of the earlier seasons of The Walking Dead. So, here it is, me, Matt Burns, Kent Wagner, and Mike Mundy. And on the other side of this interview, which is on via Skype, which means you're going to have that left and right audio, and which I apologize for. I cleaned up a lot of the pauses and a lot of lag time that was there, so you're going to hear a lot of that. Kind of gone, so if you hear a little weird cuts, that's why you kind of might have that weird audio jump cut type deal. So, please, I apologize for that. Bear with me. Here's the interview, and I'll give you guys and gals the complete guest list for Matt Burns' upcoming show at the tail end of the whole interview. So, stay tuned, and here's the interview. Alright, folks, welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Today I have two special guests with me coming through the power of Skype, so please bear with the oddity of the sound oddities that are coming through right now. Our first guest is a special guest. It's Kent Wagner, who he's an actor and a special effects artist, would you say?
I'm not a professional special effects guy, but I do dabble in effects, and I've made some pretty neat monsters on my own, but when it comes to the real stuff, you know, they're the professionals out there that handle the actual film makeups.
And also, he's been on with us today. He's been on the show several times before. Some of you know him, some of you love him, others might hate him nonetheless. It is Matt Burns. Welcome to the show, Matt. You there?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy. Good to be back here again, and for all the haters and lovers alike, you know, I either love you or fuck you, one or the other.
What if you want to love them and fuck them?
You know, they got to pay extra for that.
As promoted, both of these guests here, listeners, are on the show today because of, what's the convention called, Matt, this coming up September 8th and 9th, is it?
September 9th and 10th, actually, Chris. It's the Four State Comic-Con, new and improved, the reboot, if you will. We've since moved out of the Waynesboro Skating Rink. Now the skating rink has shut down and become a flea market. We are now at the Hager Hall, which is 901 Thule Highway in Hagerstown, Maryland, right on the main drag there. It's conveniently located. It's right off I-81 and I-70, right where they meet. So we got some great stuff there, a much bigger venue. You know, we got lots of great vendors, lots of great cosplayers. I mean, yeah, lots of great guests. We got, just from The Walking Dead alone, we got Ann Mahoney, who played Olivia. We've got Peter Zimmerman, who's currently on the show as Eduardo, one of the Hilltop Warriors. And, of course, we got Mr. Kent Wagner here, who was a featured zombie back in Season 5. He was also in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and some other really cool stuff, Vampire Diaries, etc. And, like I said, we got some other cool stuff, too. We got, you know, the original, well, the second, I guess, original American Rita Repulsa, Carla Perez, one of her first appearances on the East Coast. We got Steve Cardenas, the Red Ranger, who fought right alongside of her, Rocky. The, let's see, we got Natalie Sky, a beautiful, beautiful girl from Sons of Anarchy, the TV show. And we also got a couple of great comic artists, Mark McKenna and Ron Wilson, both who work for Marvel and DC. So it's going to be a great time. We got cosplay contests, panels. I mean, the Reverend Godfather here has ran several great panels for me, mostly Power Rangers. And hopefully we'll see all you guys out there September 9th and 10th.
That's right. We're going to be there. The show's going to be there as well, so you can come join us and at least see the fine guests, including Kent. I don't know, Kent, for the least few days, at least a few hours, I know I've been thinking, for some ungodly reason, Kurt's been going through my mind, I don't know why, so, and I do apologize for that. So Matt's been helping me get at least Kent through my head. So, as Matt has said, you've been in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Were you in a traditional full head makeup, or was it just the ping pong balls?
Yeah, well, no, this is there's a great story there. I ended up landing the role of the sneeper alien, and if you do a little Google research on it, you'll find that James Gunn really brought the sneeper to reality. It was created by Stan Lee back in 1964 in a comic book with Jack Kirby way back when. And when James Gunn was researching aliens for Guardians 2, he liked the name Sneeper, and he wanted to use it as a race in the film. So he approached Marvel Legal with the name Sneeper, and Marvel Legal, they first said, "We'd rather you not use the term Sneeper because it sounds too much like the Icelandic word for clitoris." So then James Gunn went on social media, and he put it out there, and the fans responded, and 2 days later, Marvel said, "Go ahead and use a sneeper." So, yeah, I was a sneeper, and it was a 3.5-hour full head makeup application every morning. I worked about 15 days on set with the production, and total it was probably 20 to 25 days total. We had a Ravager camp we had to go to, test makeups, wardrobe fittings, contact fittings. It really was the most fun project I've ever worked on, and working with James Gunn and just the cast and crew, it was really the best project I've had the pleasure of working on. But and I'm looking forward to James announced Guardians 3, so hopefully we'll see more sneepers in Guardians 3.
And as Matt, I think, has stated that you were all on a featured zombie on Walking Dead, can you tell us the difference between working on a production such as TV versus a movie set?
Oh yeah, there's a lot there, and I'm a big special effects guy. K&B Effects, they handle all the walkers on The Walking Dead, and they do amazing work. But it's Legacy Effects who puts together these aliens for the Marvel films, and they are the best in the business. But the difference between film and television, something like Guardians, there was a rigorous auditioning process where we had to go through thousands of people, and we got narrowed down to about 50 of us that were Ravagers, and about 10 of us were heavy makeup Ravagers. So it was a very, vigorous auditioning process. And with The Walking Dead, I had to go to zombie school in Season 5, which really is more of your – it's not zombie school. They really don't teach you anything there. It's more of your audition to work on the show, and I was able to land a walker role in the Season 5 premiere, No Sanctuary, one of the hero walkers. But the difference between film and TV, really the productions are run the same behind the scenes, the cast and crew. But, for Walking Dead, you're very much working exterior shots. You're out in the element. And the Guardians, we were on nice air-conditioned sound stages, so that was a big difference there. And we did a lot of filming at Guardians in Pinewood, Atlanta, which is the most state-of-the-art facility in filmmaking right now. So it was nice, working in Pinewood at a brand new facility. And then with Walking Dead, we were out in the woods. When you see a walker stumble or trip, it's because we can't see what's going on. We got those contacts in, and you're winging it, man. You might bounce off a tree. You can't see anything once you get those lenses in. But both of them was a great time. And I got Mike Mundy right over here too. I mentioned to you guys earlier on. He was a season two and three Walker. I think his best known role, Mike, was the Grandpa Walker, right? In the season three premiere, he kind of fire poker through the eyeball by T-Dog, was that right? Through the head, yeah. So, but my good buddy Mike Money, hopefully he can get up there and join us for one of these shows soon, because me and Mike do a lot of shows together and we have a good time.
If we get anybody drop out of four state, Mike, you will be the first one out.
I was about to say, I can't speak for Matt, but I'm sure that Matt will probably be happy to have him be a part of the convention either one way or another.
Oh, yeah. I mean, The Walking Dead is a huge deal. I mean, we have a lot of people who come and just collect Walking Dead autographs. They just come with their posters, and they have like 50, 60 signatures of all types. I mean, it doesn't matter if you were on the show for 5 seconds or 50 episodes. I mean, it don't matter. I mean, they love it, or they love all their Walking Dead out here, that's for sure. But, yeah, and Chris, if you don't mind my intrusion here, I actually got a question for Ken. You know, you being a big James Gunn fan, are you a Romeo and Juliet fan? You know, that was his first film he ever worked on, of course. And are you a fan of that?
Oh, man, Troma. I grew up with Troma, Lloyd Kaufman, and all those guys. And I think James Gunn's story is just amazing, how he went from being a writer and now he's directing some of the biggest budget productions being produced in the industry. But, yeah, Troma. I'm an old Toxic Avenger fan, man. It goes way back. I love Troma horror, man, and I'd love to be able to work on a Troma production. That's kind of a bucket list kind of thing. I think it'd be neat to get even just a small part, even in the background, just to say, hey,
I could actually help make that happen, though, Ken. I actually know a bunch of people who've worked on Troma before, so I probably actually may help make that happen. Actually, I know some people who are actually in very, very close with Troma or whatever. Like, so, yeah, no, it's, yeah, I mean, they did a lot of fun stuff, especially back in the 80s.
Oh, there's so much fun, man. Yeah.
So, Kent, you're an old school, because the reason why I'm asking is because a lot of people online, seems like those who are fans of Troma, half of them like the old school Troma, and there is another half that loves the new school Troma. So, are you the person that stands in the middle and kind of likes a little bit of the new stuff, or just primarily a lot of the older stuff?
To be honest with you, I've dropped the ball on some of the newer stuff. I'm an old, Toxie fan back in the day, but I'm sure if I want, I love low budget horror. I'm a horror fan to the core, and I just haven't had the opportunity to see some of the newer stuff, so I can't say either or about it, but I'm definitely an old Toxic Avenger fan. Toxie, it's just awesome. I love this stuff, and I love Lloyd Kaufman's, the Troma style of, just low budget, and they're just, they're cranking out some movies that looks like they're having a lot of fun making them, too.
Now, speaking of kind of the low budget and indie stuff, rumor has it through the grapevine, both you and Matt are working on a low budget film called Bottom Creek, is it?
Yes, Bottom Creek. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't had any time on the production yet, but I think we're going to film later this year, and I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that production. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to working with everybody up there.
Matt, do you have any news on it?
We've shot some scenes and whatnot. The film company is called High Rock Pictures. It's run by three guys, Todd Chamberlain, Jeffrey Miner, and David Lance, who are kind of the three producers or whatever. And I've actually worked my way up to production credit on this thing as well. But yeah, I know it's going to be a great film. We just did scenes. We actually have a teaser trailer up on YouTube for Bottom Creek with Jim Krutt, the helicopter zombie, who's a great guy, and he works on a lot. He's a great friend to a lot of low budget filmmakers in the area. He's been in just about all our movies. So yeah, Jim's a great guy. He was at the last Comic Con. Super fantastic guy, as I said. But yeah, no, we actually have. If you want to look it up, it's facebook.com/ Bottom Creek. We have videos up, and we have an Indiegogo thing. So if anybody wants to donate, we have plenty of cool perks and whatnot you can get from that. And yeah, we plan to have that done and released, post-production and everything, hopefully by next spring. So, and like I said, Kent's going to come up hopefully at the end of summer or early fall to shoot his scenes he plays my father in the movie, which is hilarious. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about kind of that same backwoodsy feel as like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Deliverance have, kind of, family killer movie.
And this is going back to you, Kent, you being behind the mask with a lot of things, which do you, and with that interest on doing your own, the special effects makeup and all that, which do you prefer, the digital ping pong ball type ordeal, the digital or the old school practical effects that might be?
Oh, man. I'm 100% practical. I think, you know, some of the best artists in the industry are making these monsters, and CGI digital has come a long way, but I'm always a fan of practical effects. I think it gives the actors something to respond to versus, you know, like you said, ping pong balls or a green screen. They're filming Godzilla down here right now, and I wouldn't mind seeing a guy in a rubber suit stomping around rather than just a digital Godzilla, but that, you know, it is what it is. But I'm a huge fan of the makeup artist, and I'm a huge fan of practical effects, and I'd rather see those guys work than nothing against the digital guys, but I'm a fan of the artist, so I'm definitely a hardcore practical effects guy.
The reason why I ask is because there has been a lot of argument in the special effects. I think I saw a post on it on my timeline today in reference to some people saying that it's kind of when the practical is seen on screen nowadays with the high def and the ultra high def screens, it looks, I think the word was used, as cheesy or not pretty, versus how digital effects or CGI is prettier and can be upscaled much easier. How do you fall on this?
I've had practical in my Vampire Diaries. I was a heretic vampire in season 6, I believe it was, episode 17. A great makeup. And the makeup artist, you know, we did days of test makeups and a camera test. And when we finally got on set, you know, we had the whole makeup together, wardrobe, we're filming scenes. He did an amazing job. And in post-production, they go in there and they digitally enhance his makeup. And he was pretty upset by that. I don't want to mention his name because I don't want to bring him out there. But, you know, sometimes the digital, I mean, then the whole time on set, you know, guys like Ian Somerhalder or the main cast of the Vampire Diaries, they're like, oh, you're just killing it. They really treated me like one, you know, part of the team that day. And, but when the episode released, a lot of my artist work was completely, you know, digitally enhanced. And he was a little, I talked with him after that when I was working on Guardians, and he was a little upset by that. He showed me before and after pictures, and there was a big difference where, you know, they definitely changed the color of the makeup and the looks of it after we did several camera tests, you know, which we thought we had the look dialed in. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a practical guy, man. So there again, nothing against digital artists, but if it can be done practically, I want to see it done practically. Like I said, it gives the actors something to respond to, and I just think it's better all in all. It gives, you know, it's putting good artists to work, and it gives the actors something to, you know, to actually look at rather than, like I said, a ping pong suit, which I've been working with recently on a new production I can't talk about. But it's funny seeing those the little ping pong suits walking around, because it's just, you can't get the same, you know, you can't get in the same mindset as you actually would see, you know, that monster out there or you know, that hero. I'm practical to the core, man. That's just how I am. I love the real effects, man.
So I guess we could both agree that for every great and perfect practical effects and great and perfect Lord of the Rings type of practical digital, there's going to be that really cheesy or campy sci-fi channel-esque CGI in reference to with that.
Yeah, that's going to happen. You know, it's the way the industry's changed, but I'm glad to see that, you know, the artists are still being used and we haven't gone completely digital. I hope that never happens. I lost a great spot on the, I believe it was Constantine, the TV series. A good makeup artist from the mine down here had me pegged to be a principal demon on this production, and at the last minute, the production decided to go digital with it, you know, so I lost out, he lost out, and, you know, I haven't seen the final product, but I guarantee you it probably would have been done better if it had been practical, and I would have gone out there and give it all, you know, all I had, but they decided to go digital with it. So when they go digital, you're not just putting one guy out of work, you're putting several guys out of work, really. So I'm, you know, definitely practical all the way, man.
So
don't you worry, Kent. Bottom Creek will be 100% practical because that's all we can afford.
That's where it's at.
Speaking of, I want to give a guy a quick plug real quick. At the Comic-Con, at 4-Day Comic-Con, make sure to check out Kent and a good friend of mine, Donnie Drum, who went to Tom Savini's effects school. They're going to be doing something really cool for the con or whatever, a great workshop for effects for all you guys want to know about it. So definitely check that out. It'll probably be early in the day on Saturday. We don't have an exact time yet, but it's getting worked out right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. I'm looking to see what Donnie throws together, and we'll definitely have a nice little FX tutorial there, and I think he's going to have me in some full makeup, so it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
That means cosplayers, if you who are ever out there listening, it could be an added bonus to your outfits that you put together, having either battle damage or scar damage to your cosplaying needs. It could prove an interesting panel for you guys to attend to. So, and not to mention Matt's shows are, for the last couple of shows, they've been what, Matt? Like $10, $15?
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep our prices low. Our advance tickets are $10 per day, $15 for both days, and $15 a day at the door. So, yeah, we try to keep things fresh. I mean, we're not the biggest convention in the world, but I think we give pretty good bang for your buck. So that's the thing. We want to make sure everybody can afford to come and everybody can afford to, you know, support our great vendors and our celebrities like Kent. Make sure they can, you know, if they want an autograph or a selfie with somebody, they can get it. You know, I just want to make sure that everybody can be to the fullest without having to pay, without being $40-$50 in the hole before they even walk in the freaking room. So that's because, like I said, I mean, that's what's killing the convention scene right now is these conventions, I think, are pricing themselves out of business, my personal opinion.
I agree with that.
I guess this is going to be more so towards you, Matt, but I think Kent could pipe in on this too. Last couple of hostfuls, and I think on the way home from Mel's convention, me and Big Candy have spoken about how the smaller cons like yours are kind of helpful to the local environment or local economy because there are a lot of people who cannot make it to the larger, more mainstream shows, but there have been a few guests, not yours, Matt, not yours. I haven't heard it from yours. This was at the library show, pop culture show, a few weeks ago, where one of the guests called pretty much their show, and in essence, I guess it was directed to the smaller shows, very gimmicky and along those lines, and it was gimmicky and pretty much pointless. Well, what are your thoughts on like people saying stuff like that?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the deal. I mean, you know, I personally do this because I love it. And I love, you know, seeing everybody get together and having a wonderful time with their friends and family. I mean, I don't see where that's gimmicky at all, quite frankly. I have had very few people walk out of one of my shows and not had a very good time, even the guests, even if they didn't make their guarantees, they thought it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, that's the thing. You have to find a perfect balance. I mean, and, you know, and case in point, you know, if you run a smaller show, you have to promote it. I mean, me and you, Reverend Godfather, we've talked about this how many times. I mean, tell me how these people just, they don't understand how to promote. They think they make a Facebook event and that's it. And then 6,000 people are going to show up. No, you know, they don't understand, you know, how to get the word out or whatever. And I mean, it's not all the time their fault, but these people get discouraged or whatever because they didn't try hard enough or whatever. I mean, it's just and that's why small cons, I think, get a bad name as a promoter who's run failed shows myself, you know, you have to give yourself time to learn, I guess, or whatever. But the problem is in today's world, it's hard to give yourself a learning period because everybody wants the instant gratification. That's the whole thing right now. And it's hard. I mean, it took me two or three times before I finally did something successful. You know what I mean? I mean, I had to change the format and everything else. So if coming out and having a good time is gimmicky, then you know what? We're the biggest gimmick. Four State Comic Con is the biggest gimmick in the world. But you know what? Come on out, and we'll prove to you that a small con can be just the same as a bigger one. You know, I mean, in my personal opinion, this area needs something like this because, like you said, not everybody can afford to go to Baltimore or Harrisburg or any of the bigger city cons or whatever. I mean, you know, even Awesome Con. I mean, you know, even though they're great people to run that con. And again, I'm not bashing anybody. If you can make it, make it. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, trust me. I mean, if I ever get to that point, but I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, but at the same time, it's like you have to know your bounds, you have to know your limits, but at the same time, that's why we try to make it as interactive and as fun for everybody as we possibly can. And you know what? Now we've moved out of the skating rink, moved into a larger venue, and I mean, so, you know, good things can happen with, you know, hard work and with a good team of people.
I think that the reason why I brought it up to you and all that, because one, you're a local promoter, and at the time I initially mentioned it, there was an article that popped up on Facebook that, in reference to in the area, it was a smaller show, per se, it was in Miami, their first time doing such a show, Granted, it's Miami, Matt.
Yeah, it's a much bigger area, much more money, much better economy. You know.
But their first show, they had 6,000 people show up for this first-time event. Compared to your numbers, you know, considering the area and everything else, that's still comparable, you know.
In Waynesboro, PA, our first show, we had 1,500 people. Waynesboro, PA only has about 8,000 people in the town. So do the math. Right. That's great. I'm glad to hear that Miami show did very well. I'm glad to hear that. Yes, that's wonderful. I mean, you know, I mean, and it just goes to show you can do a successful first time event if you do it right. Like I said, I mean, it's just, you know, and like I said, hopefully with this bigger venue and moving to a bigger town like Hagerstown. What would you say, Chris? About 25,000-30,000 people, something like that?
Give or take, it's probably a little bit larger than Martinsburg.
Definitely bigger than Martinsburg.
I want to say it's probably closer to 50.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe even that big. I was going to say. Granted, we're not Baltimore, D.C. by any means,
But the thing is, what you have working for you in reference to Hagerstown is Hagerstown. Is similar to Winchester, and please let me explain, Matt, because Hagerstown tends to have a lot of activities, and when you have a city that has a lot of activities, therefore the people are hungry for more activities, something new, something different, and this could be one of those things to fit into that cycle, or that niche that needs to be filled. So I'll be more than interested, even though I'll be a vendor there, as a way to seeing, you know, how well it's received in Hagerstown. So I'm not bashing you in any way, shape, or form. So I want to see how this turns out. So,
you and me both. That was not a diss at all, in my opinion. Absolutely. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it does in a bigger setting. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting.
Kent, do you have any thoughts on this, or?
Well, yeah. I was just thinking, I'm not going to mention any particular names, but I did a show recently up in Ohio, and gimmicky, they actually they had a live band there on Saturday, and on Sunday they brought in a wrestling rink and had wrestling there, and it was a smaller show in Ohio, but you know, it was kind of, I've done a lot of shows and conventions, and I kind of prefer the smaller ones because I think you get more one-on-one time and you get to meet, you know, people that you're not going to see, like you mentioned, in Baltimore or bigger markets. But it was kind of neat being at this show and seeing them have live wrestling right there. You know, it wasn't big time wrestling; it was some small wrestling company. But then a live band. I thought it was pretty neat. You know, it may be considered gimmicky, but their whole stick was it's not going to be your typical Comic-Con. They were trying to change it up, and it was their first year show. And I got a feeling by next year, maybe it'll be a little bit better. But I don't mind putting something different in the show. I mean, I love the cosplayers, and I love celebrity guests. I love seeing all the vendors. Every show I go to, I'll try to network with everyone there. It's just it's just what I do. But I thought it was pretty neat to see some live entertainment there, and right on the con floor in a wrestling rink, right on the con floor. It was pretty neat, a little gimmicky, but that's what they're going for, man.
I will say this, though, about having, like, a live band or live wrestling. Because the first show I did, right before the Cosplay Contest, I had my friend who does a sideshow act, like a freak show type thing or whatever, where he, does crazy stuff. You know, he'll lift a cinder block with his gauged ears and stuff like that or whatever. His name's Corey. He runs the Coffin Box Sideshow. Chris, you were there for that. You even know Corey. He was at SlasherCon. He was also at the first Comic-Con. But a lot of times, the only problem that I have with this, and this is like the counter argument to that, is, I mean, especially a lot of times it takes away, I mean, from the vendors. And I know they get a little uppity about that or whatever, especially since they pay for a booth, and then it really distracts people from their table and whatnot. So that's why I try not to have a whole lot of that. Aside from panels and the cosplay contest, that's the counter argument is, you know, these people are paying good money for these tables, and, you know, if you're having this entertainment, which is taken away from them, they're not going to want to come back. And then, you know, if you don't have vendors, I mean, if you don't have vendors, you don't have a show. That's the way I look at it anyway, because they're the ones paying for everything.
I think the best, I know Kent said it best, but when I was at the Virginia Comic Con, this was going on 10 years ago, and me and one of the
artists
were
having... Right? That's the Richmond, right?
Yeah.
Raceway? Okay.
Yeah. This is when they were in the hotel at the time. or one of the local hotels at the time. The artist, I was talking to him about Wizard World that year and the big versus the small particular shows, and he said he enjoys shows like Virginia Comic Con, meaning the smaller shows, because of, as Kent said, the one-on-one, whereas a larger show like a Baltimore, or I'm not knocking Baltimore, or Wizard World, where it's okay,
or
an Awesome Con, where they're in a booth, it's autograph, maybe a quick sketch, next, autograph, quick sketch, next, autograph, and here it's more, he said on the smaller level, it's more personal, he could explain things more, if there's more time, he could instruct people how to improve if they're the person speaking with is an artist or a writer, or in fact he could go into why he did something particular in a particular issue, so forth and so on. He's got more time to do that. So, and he says a lot of times the fans come away with a lot better experience in the smaller shows than the larger shows, because it's more of a friendlier atmosphere. So,
yeah, I could definitely go along with that. Like, so, I mean, it's all in what you like. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, if they want to meet the big celebrities, they got to go to the big shows. I mean, because these smaller shows just can't afford them, unfortunately. I mean, trust me, I'd love nothing more than to get Daryl Dixon or Jason David Frank, but it's just not feasible. Until we build up, you know, build up our clientele and whatnot, it's just not feasible right now, unfortunately. So, I mean, you know, because as a small time promoter, you get that all the time. People are always like, oh, you get all the, you know, this is a true story. Somebody on Facebook literally called me the Diet Coke of comic book conventions, the generic Diet Coke of comic book conventions. Somebody said that on the Four State page. You know, I just laughed, of course, and just, you know, deleted and blocked them or whatever. But JJ, you're going to get your naysayers, of course. They want you to go, you know, $80,000 of debt, wind up in prison just to bring somebody. Just to bring somebody, you know, a huge celebrity that you'll never be able to afford. And like I said, you'll just wind up a president dead. And you know what? They didn't even come to the show anyway. So there you go.
I agree with that.
Go ahead, Ken.
I agree. And, you know, I think the smaller shows, it's great for the communities, too. You know, a lot of people can get the, you know, or they live in Metro, Atlanta, or Miami, or Chicago. For these, you know, smaller communities, it's just great for the community. It gives them something to do that they normally don't get to see and do. And, yeah, you may not have the big A-listers out there, but still, you're bringing people in who have worked on some of their favorite productions. And, you know, they're getting to see some great vendors with great products. And, I like the small shows. I really do. I really do think they're more personal. And, it's just a good time, man. Every show I go to, I try to have a good time, definitely. I like having fun, man. But I love meeting people. I love shaking hands. And I love telling stories, man. I've only been doing this for about 5 years, and I've been very fortunate in 5 years to land some really cool spots, and I always try to pay it forward by, you know, trying to get people, if they're interested, I'll do the best I can to help them get into the industry. But I love the shows. I think I do better at smaller shows just because I don't have to compete with those big A-lister guys. I'm not that guy, you know, but I have worked on some pretty cool things, but I'm not, you know, Michael Rooker, and I'm not, you know, Andrew Lincoln or Norman Reedus, but I can sure tell you some pretty cool stories.
Well, if you want to, you could go right ahead. I am not going to stop you in any way, shape, or form, okay?
Man, Guardians was a blast, man. I tell you, behind the scenes, I was in the A makeup trailer, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, sitting next to Michael Rooker every morning. When he's becoming Yondu, I'm right next to him becoming the Sneeper alien, and that was a treat. A lot of great stories from Rooker. He's a great guy. And there again, I mean, I really honestly cannot say one bad thing about Guardians, man. But Sylvester Stallone, the first day he came on set in wardrobe, I think he used the word ravengers a couple of times. He got that Sylvester Stallone accent, ravengers. Do you know?
Ravengers.
But, you know, we're ravagers, not ravengers. But, you know, Sly got it right. He nailed it in the long run. But it was cool working with him. And, yeah, I got loads of stories, guys. I could go on and on, but I'm looking forward to getting up there and sharing stories with everyone at the convention. And yeah, man. And then still working. I got some projects I've been working on recently. So there's new stuff coming down the line. Spider-Man Homecoming's coming out. I was seen in a little snip of a clip of a trailer, but I was one of the Vulture's goons, or, you know, working in his sweatshop. We're working on some alien technology to help the Vulture build up his arsenal. So hopefully you'll see me on, I think in a couple of weeks, Spider-Man Homecoming. That was my fifth Marvel movie I can talk about right now. So yeah, George has been great. The Marvels made their home here now, so I've been very fortunate, to work on some cool productions. But yeah, my passion really is doing the makeup work. I love being a monster and alien, whatever. Yeah, that's all I got there.
Now, you said you worked on some personal makeup stuff. How long does it usually take, or how long does it take you to put something together?
It varies, man. Sometimes you're in a crunch, and you're just going to throw it together. But I'm old school. I don't use airbrushes. I use old Ben Nye stage makeup. And I have done some molding and casting and tried building my own appliances, and I haven't come up with anything yet that I want to reproduce, as far as I can use over and over. But, everything is easily available. You can order online or, maybe around your area. I know engineerguy.com is a great place to order special effects makeup. But, I'm an old grease paint guy. I do it the old school way. I'm a huge fan of old school horror, black and white horror. And, my arsenal, my effects equipment is not up to date. I do it the old fashioned way. So it could be anywhere from, an hour or two to do a makeup, and typically I've done a lot of zombie stuff on myself and family and friends, and a couple of productions I've worked on doing bruises and scars and blood to independent productions as a makeup artist, and that kind of stuff's really easy. You can crank those out in minutes, but if you're gonna do like a full face makeup, an hour and change to get a good look there, for a good zombie look.
I know when I was volunteering, this was a good many years ago, I decided just for shits and giggles to volunteer at one of the local haunted houses in the area, and they were putting on, I won't say a prosthetic, but a kind of, they were doing their own open wound sort of thing, and one of the things that they were using was just plain old liquid latex and oatmeal, oddly enough. Of course, they painted it, but I was like, well, are you using oatmeal? And he's like, yeah, it provides the texture, it provides the kind of look we're going for there, so we just got to paint it and make sure everything kind of looks nice and pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that trick before, and I have my own little web series on YouTube called Shed of the Dead, and we focused on low-budget special effects. How can you create this look on the low budget? And I'm bringing it back to life right now. We're going to actually turn the corner and go to more convention coverage, celebrity interviews, and so on. But, for every artist, I tell you, with all the artists I've worked with, some of the best talent in the industry, they all started out doing that same kind of stuff. They'll dabble around and as a kid or as a teenager, they'll find the passion for special effects. And, some guys like the gentleman I'll be working with up there, he ended up getting into Savini school. And, and next thing, some of these guys they go from working, at home with nothing. They get their education, they get some proper training, and they're working on some of the biggest productions. I work with a lot of the Face Off alumni on these productions down here. A lot of those guys are here in Atlanta now. But by all means, if you have the desire and passion, just get out there and work with what you have to work with. Create some looks, and you get better and better as you move along, and you can pursue an education after that, or build up your portfolio. And that'll help out also. But I'm a huge fan of low budget effects, and where it can bring you. It could definitely, if you really have a passion for it and you work hard enough, you can do anything. And I've worked with some artists who came from nothing, and now they're working on these big budget Marvel productions on The Walking Dead and things like that. So you just gotta keep on digging, man.
Absolutely. I was gonna say, we have a great haunted house. Speaking of local haunted houses, Chris, we have a really good one here in Hagerstown called Raven's Eye Manor, and Donnie actually does some of the special effects out of that one or whatever, and that haunt's really come a long way in the 4 or 5 years. Rob Rapesnyder, a good friend of mine, he'll actually be at the con too, probably promoting the haunted house or whatever. But yeah, if anybody's into like that kind of thing, they need to check that out, because they take on this awesome hayride. It's like haunted with like leather faces and stuff like that, with like guys with chainsaws and girls screaming. It's pretty wild, actually, and it's because it's on this big old farm from like the 1800s. Pretty wild stuff. It's right outside Hagerstown. Yeah, Raven's Eye Manor. Good shit.
If you get a good haunted house, even one that's a mediocre haunted house, but if you get that right group with the right little scaredy cats in it, oh, it could be the perfect night.
That's it, man. Yep, yep. I grew up working haunts. My parents always set our yard up for Halloween, and I kind of fell into it in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Boy Scouts when I was really young, and they threw me in the sink of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre room, and that's, I think, is where my love for horror started. But then I worked haunts since then, and this past 2 years, I've been working with another World Haunted House, which is one of the biggest haunts in the country. So I've seen them all, from the small ones to the big ones, and it definitely goes back to, you know, I think the passion and the haunt promoters, and also the passion in the haunt actors. But it doesn't have to be a big haunt to be a good haunt, that's for sure.
At one point, I did want to join. I know you said you were part of Savini's school. I always wanted to be a part of that way back in the day when I graduated from high school, but it was one of those things that when I approached my folks, hey, I want to try this out. Because I had that passion to be behind the scenes and do special effects, to try the makeup, to try that aspect, and seeing ads for Savini's School of Makeup, and it was like, oh, no way, there's no way, no how you're doing that. So it was like a really great way to dash my hope, Dad, you know.
Yeah, you know, I never, Donnie, the guy who will be with us at the convention up there at Four State, Donnie went to Savini School, but, I have had no professional training. You know, I've worked with a lot of them, and I've learned a lot from behind-the-scenes stuff, but Donnie could definitely give us more insight on that. But, yeah, Savini's great. Stan Winston's great. There's definitely a couple of great schools if you're able to, you know, get your financial backing, and they'll definitely, you know, give you all that you need to find yourself in the industry, and some of them will even try to get you job placement after you graduate, which is really neat. You could end up working on set right after you get your certification. Pretty cool.
I know, Matt, you've worked behind the scenes on several different short, I won't say short films, but indie films. What has your experience been like in this type of area?
Well, let's see. I've been killed by a radioactive tree. I've had a running chainsaw with a blade on it, 1 inch from my chest. This movie, I get to play a redneck inbred Elvis. Good times. Good times.
Yeah, we've seen the radioactive tree one.
Why did I bring that up? Here we go.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to say you were a good sport about that.
Yeah, I really was. I definitely was on that one. But one of the movies I got to be like kind of a featured extra and kind of a background person in was, speaking of Kent was talking about Toxic Avenger. Kent, did you know that they're making another Toxic Avenger movie called Toxic Tutu?
Oh no, I didn't. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's already done. It's like a mockumentary about the Toxic Avenger or whatever. And it actually has Mark Torgel, the original kind of Toxic Avenger, and I'm pretty sure Troma's distributing it. It's got Walking Dead's Jeremy Ambler, one of the featured walkers on there. He's in it. Johnny Fairplay from Survivors. It's pretty wild. Because they shot a lot of it right in Southern Virginia, and I was at a horror convention, and they needed people to be in the movie. So my girlfriend at the time was actually in the movie, and she actually had a speaking role, but I was like one of the background extras, and they are standing in line with the paranormal queen of the paranormal, Kedrosa Ona, who was also at a couple of my cons as well. But yeah, I know. But it was a lot of fun to work on that, and I'm looking forward to seeing the final project. They just premiered it at Mad Monster Party last year. I wish I'd known Kent then. I probably could have gotten you a role in it. Probably a good one.
that's awesome. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Toxic Tutu, like a ballerina tutu. Toxic Tutu.
Ambler, I've done a couple shows with Ambler. He's a pretty cool cat. And Johnny Fairplay, man, that they really went digging on that one, didn't they? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like, well, he was a local to the area. He's from Southern Virginia, so I said he was local to the area. And you know, he was just, when he just come off of Survivor, so he kind of still had a name. I mean, and he was on wrestling for a while, and he was still, you know, pretty in the limelight. So like I said, he's a character too. I mean, like, wow, I mean, he's just as crazy in real life as he was on that show.
That's great. I'm definitely going to check it out.
I do apologize for being quiet. I was just updating a few things on social, at least Twitter, saying that I'm having a great time speaking to you guys. And it is, I'm not ending this anyway right now. Just wanted to get the word out that, you know, everything is going well and I'm enjoying this conversation right now. So
all six of his followers have to know, yeah?
All six that actually look, listen, and read. The rest of them, I don't know where they go. So
they just friend collect.
Yeah, then it was like, oh, we're going to follow this person, you know?
Yeah, it's just, well, I just want to build my numbers up. That's usually how it works.
Yeah, thank you for boosting my numbers, you know, but I wouldn't mind if you all just, you know, talk a little
listen
bit more
once in a while.
Yeah, listen once in a while, because I could be screwing up big time and you guys don't even know it. So I should do that just one day, just for about an hour, just go fuck you all and just, you know, just to see who actually listens. Like, wait a minute, for an hour, he's just saying fuck you all. What the hell, you know?
Hey, where can we find the podcast?
Go on like the most hateful rant ever. Go on the most.
where can we find the podcast at?
You can find our show. Our main page is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and we're also on the usual spots, which is iTunes and Google Play Music.
Okay, yeah, thelongcoatmafia.com, is that what you said?
No, it's longcoat. Our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com.
Gotcha. Okay, got it. All right, thanks, man.
We'll
check it out. Yeah, yeah.
Is Mike Mundy still with you? Is Mundy still there?
Yeah. You want to start with Mike?
What are you waiting for, buddy? Come on in.
Come on in.
Here you go. I'm going to hand the phone over to Mundy, guys. Here you go.
Cool.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Tell us a little bit about, I'm sorry to take over here, Chris, but tell us a little bit about yourself. What you been up to?
Well, actually, Kent and I just got back from Knoxville. We went to hang out with the new Dark Lord from Rogue One. He's in Knoxville. He's from Wales. He's also Game of Thrones first White Walker.
Damn.
He's a plethora, Harry Potter, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, a plethora of other things. Victor Frankenstein, Prometheus, Guardians of the Galaxy is the main guard. It goes on and on, but I mean, he's like one of the most.
He was Vader. That's all he needs to know. He was Vader.
Yeah, exactly. But he's like one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. I met him in Germany a couple of years ago at a convention, and we had an absolute blast. So I was like, we got to go. I did season 2 finale. I was a later walker in the memorial. And then season 3 actually started off on the highball, and then it slowly pans out. And then they kick in the door of the house and then shoot my son. And then T-Dog puts a fire poker through my head, and I go through the glass. Good times.
So you've been hearing us... me, Kent, and Matt going on for the better part of almost 40 minutes, about an hour.
Yep.
What do you have anything to retort to, anything that we might have said or commented on?
You know what? A ton of stuff, but I mean...
Go ahead, you got the floor.
Well, actually, you're talking about Toxic Tutu. Well, I was at a convention with Mark Torgel, speaking of Toxy. He was a blast to hang out with. We had a good time at Phoenix Fair Climb. I almost feel jet lagged from the drive and the late night affairs with the Dark Lord last night. So,
chasing down that rebel scum. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we went to some mob music. We had a blast with him and
Red Ranger.
Oh, and the Red Power Ranger, Steve Cardenas.
Oh, Cardenas is coming to 4-State too.
Yeah, we're there. We all hanging out last night, yesterday.
Yeah, Steve seems like a real cool cat. Can't wait to hang out with him.
Yeah, he's got some interesting stories, and he's also a mixed martial artist as well. And pretty impressive.
Right. Yeah, I know he runs that big dojo out in L.A. or whatever. Yeah, I know that's kind of what he does now, which is cool.
Right.
He also is good friends with my good friend Santiago Cirillo from The Walking Dead. I know you guys
know
Santiago. Everybody knows Santiago.
Well.
Yeah, that's a character and a half right there. But he's a great guy.
You can hear him coming.
Oh yeah! Yeah, yeah! Wild dude there. I said, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Santiago did the first horror con I ever tried to do in a pool hall in Fredericksburg, Virginia in 2014 called Halloween Fest. And Santiago was our featured guest. Like, he was the biggest guy we had, actually. Because, we were just starting out then. And actually, the funny story about Toxic Avenger, we had John Altamura, who was Toxy 2 and 3 after Mark Torgel.
Right.
Yeah, he was John was something else. He was a little distracted, if you will, that weekend. But I mean, you know, it was cool to have it.
Happened to the best of us.
Yeah. So, what are you up to now, Mike? Any new things for you, acting wise?
I haven't really been. I'm kind of had to take a break. I was helping up my mom while she's going through chemo and radiation, that type of stuff. But she's cancer free, so it's all good.
Oh, thank goodness, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
You got that right. Oh, well, it was Spider-Man Homecoming. We had a scene with Michael Keaton. We're just thugs, basically. That was pretty cool. It's so impressive to see him work. He literally at 4:30 in the morning, he just took over directing. He's like, nope, this is how this is going. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, we were floored. And of course, Beetlejuice, Batman.
So it wasn't, you wasn't trying to be, I'm not saying Michael Keaton's a bad guy, but he wasn't trying to be kind of a douche, but he was trying, all right, let's get this done.
He was helping out. No, he was not at all. He's like, he's basically like, guys, this is why you need to do this. You roll this camera in this way. We come in at this angle. Bam, bam, bam. Roll it. But I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait to see the final product. I'll
be at our local movie theater where we run our movie ads. We're going to be doing some promo for the convention opening weekend for Spider-Man. So we'll be out of Lighters for some of it. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, Kent was talking about you guys. And he's like, give me all the filler on the way back from Knoxville today. He's like, yeah, man. We need to get up, link up with these guys. I was like, man, sounds like a great idea. Oh, you're speaking about Jim Krutt. Mr. Helicopter Zombie. We went to Infect Scranton, Pennsylvania, a few years ago. It was like me, Addie Miller, Travis Love, a few other people.
I want to say Jeremy Ambler was at that, too.
He was not. What's his name? Travis Charpentier. He was there. Screwdriver, eyeball zombie. You almost got Andrea. But Jim Krutt, it's like, hey, man, why don't you come over and sit with us? And I was like, I'm not worthy. I was like, all right, guys, see y'all. I'm going to go hang out with these Dawn of the Dead zombies.
I was just at Steel City Con, actually, 40th anniversary. Had a whole pile, like 20 of them in the room. You know, that was pretty surreal.
Yes. Me and Mike Christopher, Harry Christmas zombie, really, really good friends. As a matter of fact, he got me down to Orlando for that huge, what was that called? Oh, crap. One of the biggest conventions in Florida. And we all became really good friends. And I mean, I've been to his house, stayed there. I love that convention, too. That was a good one. Oh, but back on, let me piggyback on what we were talking about earlier. The smaller conventions, that's personally my favorite. It's like Kent said, much more personable, and you don't have 40, 50,000 people. But I don't mind. I mean, like Rhode Island Comic Con, there's 50,000 people a couple years ago when we were there, and that was just insane. I mean, you couldn't, like Walkerstalker Con, I mean, when we did that, I mean, it's like trying to move through, going to the bathroom, or go get something to eat.
Yeah. It's like you better have a bottle, take a piss, then there's a bottle, it's all about a big piss, because you can get to the bathroom.
Oh, I forgot we can cuss. Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck.
Yeah, right, fuck,
fuck,
fuck.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, man, Kent and I, we've done a lot of bouncing around together, and we just enjoy it. I mean, smiles on faces, man. And anything for the kids, bam, come here. We'll get you a free picture. Come on.
As much as I don't know how much credit I have left in reference to Skype, so I don't want to, you guys have been very, both Matt, you, Mike, and Kent, all of you have been amazing, but I don't know how much credit I have left with Skype, so as much as I don't want to cut it short, I may have to.
So great.
You guys have been great. You guys have been awesome. I was not expecting it to go this well, and I mean that in a very positive way.
Hey, that's what happened.
No, it's been fantastic.
How we
seriously
do it?
I mean, no offense, Chris. No offense, Chris. This is probably one of the better podcasts you've had. I'm not lying.
Really?
So
that's pretty strong.
So to kind of close it out.
All right, bud.
Matt, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a chance to promote yourselves in reference to what's coming up, and maybe if you want people, if you got like a Twitter handle or something like that you want people to follow, just spit it out and let us know, including whatever projects you might be working on as well that you can legally tell us about.
Okay. All right, well, hey, I guess I'll kick it off here. Yeah, Ken Wagner, you can follow me on Facebook. I have a
Kent Wagner page over there. I try to share stuff that's going on here in Georgia. Twitter, Kent Wagner FX. Instagram, I think it's Kent Wagner FX also. And, you know, upcoming projects, Bottom Creek. We're going to be filming up there in Pennsylvania soon. Looking forward to that. And I don't know, man, just keep your eye on the Marvel Universe. You might see me popping around a little bit more in some upcoming productions. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to pass over to Mike. Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, on Facebook, Michael Mundy-Actor. Twitter, I really don't do a whole lot of anything with Twitter because of my, my agent linked this Twitter account to my Facebook account. But so obviously stuff automatically drops over that way. But I think it's like, and I've really, really tried hard to change this name, but it's something like Michael TWD Zombie Mundy, M-U-N-D-Y. Pretty easy.
Either way, I'll try to, in the description, I'll re-listen to everything and I'll put everything that I could make out, or at least everybody's Facebook page, that if they have a likable page, I'll put it in the description so they could automatically go there too for you guys.
I've got you pulled up right here, the Long Coat Mafia podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll just shoot you some link via message if you want.
Sure.
Cool. Oh man, sure would like to come visit. we would definitely have a good time. I promise you that. We're all about that, keeping it positive,
cool,
keeping
deal.
It real.
I said me personally, Four State Comic Con, fourstatecon.com, all one word. Four State Retro Pop Con on Facebook and Instagram, and Four State Retro Pop Con at yahoo.com. Also check out Bottom Creek with myself, Kent Wagner, Jim Krutt, and more. From High Rock Pictures, www.facebook.com/bottomcreek, just one word, and check us out. Donate to the Indiegogo. You know, we can always use the funds for, you know, DVD pressing and all kinds of other cool shit. So look forward to that. Looking forward to hanging out in September. Hopefully we'll be hanging out. What's that?
I said that was nice.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Forward to hanging out in September, and maybe Mike too, depending on how the more of the convention planning goes. We'll see. Definitely be hanging out with Chris.
Hey, we'll do that. Yeah, so I'm available. I'm ready.
Cool.
It's my birthday weekend.
Chris, it's a pleasure, man.
No problem. It's been the pleasure's all mine. You guys have been great. A lot of great tales, a lot of great stories and conversations. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to kind of give a shout out for Matt. Save it for the show. That way the fans have be wanting more. So I thank you guys for being on the show. I'll see you guys at the Four State Retro Con reboot, so to speak. So
what day is that?
September 9th and 10th.
Okay, cool.
At the Hager Hall, 901 Dual Highway, Hagerstown, Maryland.
Oh, well, I'm gonna do some research.
All right,
yeah,
guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the interview / conversation that we had with Matt Burns, Kent Wagner, and Mike Mundy. So all their social media links, if you want to follow them, will be in the description, as well as what they said. Not to mention, as promised, the people that are going to be show up and so far promised to be at Matt Burns' Four State Comic Con is going to be Anne Mahoney from The Walking Dead. She played Olivia. Not to mention, we'll have another, we'll have Carla Perez, who played Rita Repulsa from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Steve Carnides, who played Rocky the Red Ranger from, again, the early days of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and the Blue Zero Ranger. WWE Tag Team Legends, Axe and Smash. Their tag team group name was Demolition. Natalie Sky, who's not just an actress from Sons of Anarchy, she's also a model. Marvel and DC comic artist Mark McKenna. I've met this gentleman many times in the past. He's such a great guy, such a great artist. Not to mention Ron Wilson, a Bronze Age Marvel comics artist. I hope to get a chance to speak with him. Peter Zimmerman, Eduardo on The Walking Dead. As stated, and you heard him in this podcast, this episode, Kent Wagner is going to be there. Sorry, Mike Mundy is not going to be there, but Kent is. You could speak to him. get some further details off of him. Again, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Walking Dead, and more Vampire Hunter Vampire Diaries. Not to mention that there's going to be a few featured cosplayers at this event. Megumi Cupcake, Intra Ventus, Katie Ko, Lady and Lady J Cosplay. Plus, there's going to be some charity work done by Central PA and Tri-State Ghostbusters. So, come on down this September 9th and 10th to the Hagerstown Hall in Hagerstown and visit us, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, plus the other vendors and guests that are going to be there. As you heard Matt say, that this event is relatively cheap, within the $10 to $15 range. So come on down, spend the 2 days, visit everybody, come hang with us. Hey, it's going to be a great time. As always, if you have any questions, comments, whatever, feel free to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Stalk us on Facebook by going to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. You can hear all our episodes on our main page. That's going back all the way to the beginning, 2 years ago, which is TheLongCoatMafia.podbean.com. Or you could subscribe to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling themselves right now, or Google Play Music. Plus, if you want to stream us, not only can you stream us by going to our main page, Podbean page, but you can also go to our Stitcher Radio. So, that's it. Plus, we have a Twitter. You can follow us and stalk us on Twitter. That our Twitter handle is Long Coat Mafia. Our Instagram is also Long Coat Mafia. You can stalk us there, follow us there. So, it's been a pleasure to have you guys listen to this episode. Stay tuned. Next week, there'll be another episode. Plus, we're going to bring out more content as the weeks and months go by. So, please, stick with us, and thanks for listening.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.